grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people, dear friends in Christ. I don't know about you, I'm a bit of a stickler for details sometimes. But it used to bother me a little bit whenever I'd see depictions of the Nativity, like paintings and stuff like that, that originated in other countries. Because, you know, you'd see maybe a depiction of the Nativity in China, you know, that was painted in China, and they'd look, you know, Asian. Jesus would look Asian or something. Or if it was in Africa, you'd see a Jesus who was black. Or even more, I won't say offensively, but you see, you know, if it's somebody who's painted it in Germany or in Scandinavia, Jesus is blonde-haired and blue-eyed, okay? We all know Jesus was a Middle Eastern Jew. There's no doubt about it. And it bothers me because, you know, we're talking about something that really happens. This isn't a myth. It's not a story. It's not a narrative. This is something that really happened. And I like it to be accurate. Because what I read to you a little bit earlier was for real. Luke actually emphasizes that point by giving you actual historical details, stuff that you can figure out from, or you can read in other histories. We know who the Caesar was at the time, Caesar Augustus. We know that he actually did order a census to be taken and said that everybody had to go to their hometown to register. We know this happened outside of biblical sources. We know that Quirinius was governor of Syria and Judea at the time. Again, it's in the records. So this is something that happens at a specific time, at a specific place. It's an actual, literal account about the real Jesus and his real birth. That's why it bothers me to see, you know, those fantasies put up there. On the other hand, okay, the more I think about it, the more I believe those paintings really do have it right. The angel came with the message of good news for all people. Notice what I said there. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. All the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. See, the Savior Jesus is born for you. He's born to you. He is your Savior. Your kind. He's humankind. Jesus actually embraces all of humanity in his holy birth. See, when the Son of God took on our human nature in the womb of the Virgin Mary, he didn't just become a man. He became man. He took all of our humanity into himself in his incarnation. He came to bear the sins of all of humanity in his body. That includes every nation, every race, every people, every language, everyone's sins. So even though Jesus was indeed a Middle Eastern Jew, his birth reveals the truth that there is in fact only one race in this world, the human race. And Jesus entered into this human race. This one race is the race the fallen children of Adam. And in this newborn baby in the manger, every sinner is redeemed and restored to God. Jesus is actually the embodiment of all people from every corner of the globe, and in his body, all people are put right with God again. And so when Jesus is portrayed as African or Asian or European, theologically, I suppose it's true, okay? He is their Savior too, not just mine. See, by becoming man, Christ actually becomes one with all people in order to deliver all people. The Savior is born to us, for us. He's one of us. He's our very flesh and blood, our true human brother. So there's no one that's left out of the new life that comes from his holy birth. Not one person. He's like us in every single way except one very important way. He's without sin. We're not. He's like us in every way so that we might become like him in every way and share in his divine glory. And this alone is the basis for the peace on earth that the angels sang about. See, in Christ, God and sinners are reconciled. Isn't that what we sang just a few moments ago? God and sinners reconciled. That happens in Christ. We sinners are no longer under God's wrath. We actually are at peace with him through Jesus Christ and through the mercy granted to us through Christ. The warfare between heaven and earth is now ended. The legal case of God versus human beings has been set aside. It's been set aside altogether. In his love for the world, God's love for the world has been revealed in Christ. Our flesh has been joined to God because God has joined himself to our flesh in Christ. Heaven and earth are at peace. God and man are brought back together in Christ himself. Because Jesus is God and man together in one person. And now, because we're baptized into Christ, we are put right with God. And living in Christ, we're actually put right with one another as we live together in Christ. See, the only peace on earth that actually lasts is the peace that passes all understanding, the peace of Christ. As we understand that we are forgiven sinners, united in the one body of Christ himself, his holy body. Now, looking back at that first Christmas, it probably wasn't all that peaceful. You know, let's just face it, it's probably not all that peaceful, especially for Joseph and Mary. Not only did they have to deal with the stress and anxiety of traveling to Bethlehem for the census, but, you know, traveling with a pregnant wife is not much fun, I have to tell you now. My wife is smiling back there, so I think I'm okay with that. Much less having to travel during the census, you know, all this stress. And then she gets there, she's in labor, and they're looking for a place to stay, and there's no room for them in the inn. So where do they have to go? They have to go into the stable and back, and she has the baby Jesus in a stable and lays him down in a feeding trough, a manger. We always like to use the word manger. It really means feeding trough. That's really what it means, where they fed the animals from. Imagine a first-time mother giving birth in these kind of conditions. The very fact that Jesus was born in these conditions, in these circumstances, is kind of prophetic about his wholeness. Because he was always kind of on the outside of the mainstream. He was despised and rejected by men, it tells us. John 1 says that he came to his own and his own people did not receive him. People didn't understand or grasp who he really was. He was an outcast and an outsider. And yet John goes on, but to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Now, I don't know about you, but I'd like to think that, you know, if I were there that night, I'd give up one of my kids' rooms for Mary and Joseph. Not my room, but the kids' rooms. I'd have made room for the Holy Family. We'd have made room, wouldn't we? You know, we'd have made room, sure. But let's face it, the truth is that our lives often say otherwise, because we also have shut Jesus out many times. It's not just those who are here rarely, maybe once or twice a year, that we're talking about here. We're also talking about those who are here every Sunday, many times who we keep Jesus closed here at church, and then when we go out there, you know, we'll act any way we want. because we don't have the room for Jesus in our daily lives. We shut out the word of Christ in certain situations. Maybe we even shut people out in whom Christ may have been present for us to give love to. See, we don't want to have to deal with the inconvenience of actually letting Jesus in because of all the changes that might mean for us in the way that we live. Whatever the case might be, whoever you are, wherever you are in life today, the message of this night is that Christ came for you. He came to rescue you. He came to forgive you. He's made room for you by His gracious mercy. There's no room for Him in the end. Christ says, "In my house, in my Father's house, are many rooms." He's made room for us by His mercy. He was willing, actually, to deal with all the indignities of His lowly birth and His humble life and His humiliating death just so that we might be dignified and exalted and lifted up with Him in His resurrection to everlasting life. In truth, of course, this Christmas story actually foreshadows the reason that Christ came into this world. Even as He was born outside the inn in the stable, he would also be crucified outside the city gates, near the trash heap. That's where He would be crucified with common criminals. And even as He was wrapped in swaddling cloths and laid in a manger, after the cross, He would be taken down from the cross, wrapped in linens, and He would be laid in a tomb. And even as the shepherds came to worship Him, so it is that Jesus, the Lamb of God, rose from the dead, was worshipped by His disciples, and takes away the sins of the world. The wood of the manger would become the wood of the cross. So we must never forget that on this Christmas night, we must never forget that our Lord actually took on this flesh and blood. He became a baby so that He might sacrifice His flesh and blood to cleanse us, to make us holy, His own children, His own people. Christ was born to die for us so that we might be reborn to live with Him forever. So to all of you, whoever you are, wherever you come from, whatever you've done, know this one thing. Christ died. He came into this world to save sinners. In Him, you and I are forgiven. We are forgiven. We are actually put right with God. All is well. What did the angel say? For unto